Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
Now that's Ian's voice you're hearing in the background. I'll just do the introduction, Ian, to give you a proper introduction. It's almost 50 years, as we've been saying, since a robotic shark and two musical notes made an enemy of the sea. Jaws hit the big screen in June of 1975, and a half a century on, still tops many of the best film of all time lists. Comedy drama, The Shark Is Broken, is a smash hit in the West End and on Broadway. And it's coming to Dublin's Gaiety Theatre this week. It starts tonight. Sharing the behind-the-scenes story of Hollywood's first blockbuster. It's the brainchild of Ian Shaw, who's in studio with us, son of Jaws actor Robert Shaw. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Here's a coincidence for you. I was doing the crossword in the Sunday Independent on Sunday, and your dad was a answer.
That's
so
nice.
It was, who played Shark Hunter Quint in Jaws? And I got it, Shaw. S-H-A, four across, and it was four S-H-A-W. There's a lot to talk about here, isn't there? There's a lot to talk about. Where do we start? I suppose at the beginning, because your childhood is sort of very much attached to Ireland.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So you're the where in the of the 10 children?
Nine.
Right.
Yeah.
And what age did you come to Ireland?
So it was probably 72, I think. So I would have been about three.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And whereabouts in Ireland?
In Tullamacheedy,
yeah.
County Mayo.
Yeah.
On the west side of Loch Mask. Very beautiful. Gorgeous. Right by the lake. So, you know, and we would, and my father would row across the lake to Paddy Walsh's pub, which was this thatched cottage with a fire, nothing else. I mean, it was Guinness or Smithwick's, and you might find a Britvic in there.
Yeah, Britvic orange, yes.
That'll be about it. Right. Yeah. And it was wonderful. And he would sit and talk with the locals, and kids were allowed into the, obviously, you know, different from UK, but yeah.
And how long did you spend then in Tullamacheedy?
So I was there till I was 18.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
So you went to school?
Well, I did for a while, and then I started going to school in England, so then I would come back and forth.
Yes,
but I was at the local school in Tullamacheedy, and then I was at school in Dublin at St Gerard's for a while. Yeah.
Out in Bray.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 1975, so your dad was working on Jaws then, obviously 74.
Yes.
He was away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And were you? Did you travel with him?
Yes,
all?
Often.
Yes.
You know, as many children as possible. He loved children and he loved his family, so he always wanted them to be around him. So we went out, lost lots of luggage on the way. You can imagine the chaos that it would be with this sort of Von Trapp family following him around.
Yeah.
I remember very well going onto the set of Jaws.
So it was on a soundstage, was it?
Well, what I really remember was meeting Bruce the shark, which was under a blanket, which was in a sort of warehouse.
Right.
You know,
because you were very young.
I would have been five.
Yes, yeah. Were you scared of Bruce?
I was. Yeah, it gave me nightmares because I knew it was fake, but it still evoked a real great white.
Yeah. I've done the Universal tour.
Yes.
And that's, I don't know if that's Bruce or were they all called Bruce or is there?
I think that's not quite
the original Bruce.
It's not as convincing as the original Bruce, which some people still don't think is convincing. But then I look at real shark pictures and they don't look convincing even then.
Yeah.
They look quite weird.
Yeah. So you were over there. I, as a 5-year old, probably not much to do on a film set, is there?
No, very boring.
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't really want to spend any time there. I met Steven Spielberg briefly.
What age was he?
I think he was 26 or 7.
And your dad was probably in his late 40s, was he?
He was, so it would have been, late 40s.
Yes.
So, yeah, I thought that Steven was too young to be telling him what to do.
Who's
maybe
this?
Perhaps in retrospect.
Yeah, who's this whippersnapper telling my dad what to do? It's mad that he was 26, isn't it?
Insane.
How dare he?
Yeah, what maturity.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here's the thing. So there were a lot of problems on set.
There were.
Bruce wasn't doing what Bruce was supposed to do.
Well, they hadn't tested him in salt water.
Right.
They tested him in fresh water. And so when he got into the salt water, it just frazzled and You know, it had buoyancy problems and also, I mean, this was the first film to shoot on the open ocean.
Yeah.
So there was a whole host of challenges, tides, weather, you know.
Which hadn't been factored in.
No.
No.
But it looks so good.
It looks amazing. It looks amazing. Yeah. But I suppose a little bit of the inexperience showing there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the ambition, isn't it?
Yes. Ambition and inexperience together, which is a potent mix, but can be annoying for everybody else, I would imagine.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a result of all of this, there's a lot of time for the three main actors to be sitting around having the chats. Is that it?
There is. And, yes. You know, and in some ways that was really good because it allowed them to improvise their way around a not great script, or at least that's how Robert felt. And so they brought a lot of their touches to it. You know,
and your dad was a writer as well.
He was.
Was that his true love, do you think?
It was,
right,
for sure. And he rewrote the Indianapolis speech.
Will you remind people about that?
So the Indianapolis speech is the speech he gives on the boat about the time that they deliver the Hiroshima bomb on the USS Indianapolis. Mm. And then they get torpedoed on the way back. And there's no distress call sent because it's such a top secret mission. True story.
Mm.
In fact, when we were on Broadway, we had some of the Indianapolis survivors,
right,
relatives come to see the show, which was quite an emotional meeting. So yes, and of course the shark, you know, the Indianapolis sinks and the sharks, you know, kill 2/3 of the of the people who were aboard.
So your dad, as Quint, is telling this story to the two lads.
He's telling this story to the other two,
Hooper.
And it's a scene that shouldn't work on screen. You know, it's a long, long speech. Normally, you're supposed to
show
nearly
5 minutes long. Yeah,
yeah. And so
I'm wondering, when did you? Because you were very young when your dad died. Obviously, you hadn't seen Jaws. So, what stage did you see Jaws for the first time?
Well, I saw it while he was alive.
Did you?
So I must have seen it, perhaps aged 7.
Probably you shouldn't have.
Well, I mean, I loved it even then, even though it terrified me and it made I couldn't go swimming in the water. I did really, right. Love watching it.
Okay, so I'll rephrase the question. When was the first time you realised, say, for example, that Indianapolis speech was so powerful and that your dad has done such a wonderful job at it?
When I was older, so in my late teens, probably.
Mm.
And increasingly, because of the play, I've had to do a lot of research and I've had to rewatch the film and look at all sorts of different things. And I just think it's better and better.
And you know it because it's, you know it off by heart.
Well, I know the speech because
it's in the play.
It's in the play,
yes. Yeah.
And it's a pleasure to do.
Right. How does that feel? You know, because you're playing your dad. You're doing this iconic speech from an iconic movie on stage in front of people. That must be a moment every time you do it.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can feel it with the audience, you know.
Yeah.
And it feels very special. It sort of feels like it was written for the theatre. So, because the theatre's more used to having words like that. So that was my point of inspiration. That was the first piece of the jigsaw to writing the play, was that speech.
And when did you become curious about the relationship between your dad and the other two actors?
Well, that was probably meeting Richard Dreyfuss. He auditioned me for Hamlet at Birmingham. And I was really looking forward to meeting him. I adore him as an actor. And the chemistry is so good in the film that I imagined that, you know, they all got on. And when I said who I was, it looked like I'd punched him in the stomach. And clearly there was a very interesting backstory to it that I'd heard a little about, but it wasn't until I read Carl Gottlieb's book, The Jaws Log, that I really realised that things hadn't been, you know, a bed of roses for them.
So he had worked on the movie, this guy who wrote?
Carl Gottlieb was the screenwriter and in fact appears in the film, yeah.
So he wrote behind the scenes?
Yeah, he kept a sort of diary at the time and it's a wonderful book. I urge anyone to read it who's interested in filmmaking just generally. It's a great account of the ups and downs of filmmaking.
So what did you discover?
Well, you know, that they had an extraordinary relationship. You know, Robert was convinced that Richard needed taking down a peg or two, I think. He was, at this point, Richard was largely unknown. He'd done American Graffiti, and that was about it. So he wasn't the Oscar winner that we know today, you know. So,
Your dad was well-established.
Yes, and my dad was no nonsense either. Yeah. You know, he believed in the work. He didn't think that people should be showing off. And he felt that Richard was too big for his boots.
Right. Okay.
And obviously because of the filming, you know, problems, yeah. He was also drinking more than usual. And
your
he
dad.
Drank a lot anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was drinking on set.
He was.
Right.
Yeah. And certainly drinking on the way to the set. I think on the boat, because they had these little launch boats that go out, we'd have a drink or two in the boat going right. out to the
and
set.
And obviously Richard Dreyfuss witnessed this.
Yes.
Probably from a different generation.
Well, yes, and he's an American as well. They have a different attitude to the sort of Northern Europeans on that, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So he's looking at this guy who's drinking while working. He has notions about where he is in, you know, the hierarchy of Hollywood. And there's egos aplenty there with drink in a confined space. And you have the great material, raw material for a play.
Well, yes, you have three very distinct characters.
And Roy what sort of personality did he have?
Well, we almost when Joseph and I were writing it, we imagined it to almost to be a sort of dysfunctional family, where my father was the father and Roy Scheider was the sort of more mother figure, and Richard was the spoiled child
right.
to some degree,
yeah.
And so Roy was. A gentle, kind, more balanced character.
Yeah.
Very professional.
You were nervous when you brought this to Edinburgh first.
Yes.
Yeah, and you thought there was something in it that you might tour local halls. So you didn't appreciate how big it was going to be.
No, I mean, I was very reluctant to do the whole thing.
Well, because, yeah, you're playing your dad.
Exactly.
On his coattail sort of thing, is it?
I thought the risk of it being poor taste and of me appearing, you know, like this, perhaps more like Richard Dreyfuss, sort of precocious, arrogant, too big for his boots person for making this happen. That was my fear. So I was persuaded to do it. And then when in the process of writing it, it became clear that it was about something much more interesting, funnier and deeper and a more universal story that involved, you know, that could affect everybody.
Mm, mm. Like the dysfunctional family.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Which is the base of a lot of comedy, isn't it? The dysfunctional family.
It is.
Yeah. Look,
yeah.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
There's a list that goes on and on and on, but I can't think of it right now. So has Richard Dreyfuss seen it?
He has seen it.
Has he given you a review?
I don't want to go too deeply into his opinion because his version of things is different from everybody else's.
Everybody else.
And he sticks to that.
Right, okay.
And I do have enormous respect for him as an actor. So I tend not to pass comment on his view of the play.
And he met your niece before he appeared on The Late Late Show.
He did.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Did you hear what he said then?
I did.
Yeah. I have it there. Do you want to hear it again or not?
Well, it's up to you or the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's only a short clip.
Go for it.
So what's your niece's name?
Maeve.
Maeve. So they arranged for Maeve to meet Richard Dreyfuss before he appeared on The Late Late Show. And so Maeve would have known there was a bit of history, would she, between your dad and Richard Dreyfuss?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know, right. Well, this is what he said on The Late Late Show after meeting Maeve in the green room.
First of all, I'm one of the easy criers of all time. And it was like a closure of some kind. You know, Jaws was my Dawes was one of the first films. And when I met her, it was like closure. That was the first word I thought of. And you have no idea how grand and large he was. And it was like he was alive again, you know? He died far too soon. And I was thrilled to meet her. I told her stories about him and on the film, and and she told me stories about the family. And
there you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion in there.
There is a lot of emotion there, yeah.
And that's the interesting thing. It wasn't just one thing that defined their relationship. There was love there too, which is, you know, part of what makes that relationship interesting, and we do deal with that in the play.
You mind that in the play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your dad was only 52 when he died, was he? 52?
51.
51?
Yeah.
What age are you, do you mind me asking?
I'm 55.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you're the spit of him, as they say down the country. You know, and you obviously see him in you.
Yes. Yeah, I...
Sometimes children don't, you know.
No, I could say, I mean, I looked in the mirror. That was another factor to writing the play, and I had a moustache for a role, and I thought, you know, that I looked exactly like Quint.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
So tonight, is it the first time in Ireland?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on Edinburgh, as I said, West End, Broadway.
Yeah.
And it's been going since 2019. That's 6 years. And you're saying that this might be the last run that you'll appear in.
Yes.
Are you not the main attraction, Ian?
I don't think so.
No.
I have been off in COVID, for example, and the play has been received well without me. There are other productions going on now in America and starting up in other countries. So yeah. I hope that it has a long life without me.
Right. In looking back at your dad, I suppose there was some stuff that was uncomfortable for you to witness. You know, like, I suppose he had a drink problem.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And how were you with that?
Well, I feel enormous sympathy for him. I mean, you know, he wrestled with it. He didn't want to be in the grip of it to the extent that he was, because it affected his writing, which was his first love. Mm. So, yeah, it was a struggle for him.
A good few actors, is it drank a lot? Is it spare time, is it? Is that it?
No, I think it was sort of culturally embedded.
Was it? Yeah.
If you were a certain type of leading man, you were kind of expected to drink. I mean, it was awash with drink anyway. Yeah. In fact, we were just playing Brighton Theatre Royal a few weeks ago, and they showed us the bar that they have backstage. It doesn't work now, but there was a bar for the actors,
yes, yeah,
during the performance. So,
like if I turned in and, you know, I had a, you know, tumbler full of whiskey there while I was working, yeah.
I mean, maybe it was probably across. I mean, because have you seen Mad Men?
Yes,
you know,
yes,
so,
yes,
so
yeah, yeah.
That sort of.
Yeah,
culture in the 60s, 70s, you know, was wider than we.
Yeah, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
And that line is in the play.
It is.
But it's used really well. Go on, you can give them that one.
Well, he's talking about Robert's amount of children.
Yeah. And he says to Roy Scheider, I have 10 children.
Yes.
And Roy Scheider says,
you're going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat. My 7-year-old and I watched Jaws only last night. We're watching Jaws 2 tonight, says Rico. And a friend of mine went to a film in this voice cinema. Jaws was being shown on the other screen next door. She had already seen Jaws. Halfway through the film, a man a few seats back shouted, "Where's the effing fish everyone is talking about?" Your man had gone to the wrong screen. I love that. That's pure Irish. That's pure Irish. So tonight, May 13th, and it runs in the Gaiety Theatre until the 17th, and you can go to gaietytheatre.ie, and it might be the last opportunity you have to see Ian Shaw, son of Robert Shaw, in The Shark is Broken. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Ray.
Mind yourself.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.